is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Brian, is this the kind of season for football where you're like, you as a reporter, as a beat writer, are counting down the days until you can really just put that full focus on the basketball side of things?
Absolutely. That's a good way to put it.
Well, hey, the good news for the Buffs and the Ducks last week, the Buffs did cover the spread that I saw anyway, but just barely, by like a point. Still rough, 52-29, and, they, you know, 29, you get 29 on there, Brian, so I'm trying to help you out, man. I'm looking for some positives.
Well, hey, honestly, that was the most encouraging 23-point loss I've ever covered, so... I mean, it was one that, honestly, you know, for those that watched the game, when it was 21-0 early in the game and the Buffs were not doing anything, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This is going to be 70-3, and you know, what's there going to be to write about here? And then all of a sudden, they got the offense going, and I was just pleased that they got the offense going, so there was something to actually write about, and maybe a little bit of positivity and some signs of growth there. So it wasn't all bad. The defense, you know, was not very good at all, but the offense, that was probably their best game of the season, really since the UNC game, and, you know, even be better than the UNC game because of who the opponent was.
Yeah, well, and you're right. It was the strangest deficit. When you see 52-29, you're thinking, oh, that was a blowout, but you're right. The Buffs were cooked in this one, and they found a way to get it going, especially in that second, and then they carried it over into the fourth quarter. Brendan Lewis. So talk to us about Brendan Lewis, Brian. Are we seeing that growth, enough of that growth, where, you know, now we're playing for the future, I get that, but where you're looking at this guy saying, I could see that working out next year, or are Buffs fans just like, no way, got to fix the quarterback position?
No, I think I'm seeing enough, and especially this last week, I thought there were some really good signs of growth from him. And there was plenty of times during this game where, you know, he would roll out and he would scramble a little bit. And early in the season, where he's done a lot this season, is he'll roll out, and on those plays, he gives up really quickly, meaning he's either going to throw the ball away or he's just going to tuck it and run and get whatever he can, or maybe even take a sack. But there was a lot of times the other day where he's rolling out and he just kept his eyes downfield. And he even was you could tell he was aware of where the line of scrimmage was. He was staying behind it and looking for receivers downfield. And there was times he would throw the ball and make a play. Or there's times that he couldn't find anybody, and he would still get a couple yards out of it instead of taking the sack. So I saw a lot of positive signs where, okay, he's making some plays out of nothing here or waiting for something to develop and then making a play. So those were things he was not doing early in the season.
We're talking to Brian Howell with Buff Zone. Brian, what about Jarek Broussard? That was a guy that just absolutely lit the world on fire last year. And again, we're talking about Brendan Lewis. We're talking about this offense so much. He was such a key part of that. And again, we've seen it as a whole. They haven't been able to get the rush going. But, man, with that guy, he was a superstar last year. Now he's kind of came back down to earth.
Yeah, and that's a really confusing one. I don't really know the answer on that one, because when I ask about him, they say, no, he's fine, and he's played in every game, and, you know, he comes out and he's started every game, and he has runs where it's like, okay, that's the old Jarek. And then all of a sudden, the second half of game, it's like, where is Jarek Broussard? And he's almost this forgotten man. And, you know, when I've asked before, Carl Durrell will say, well, we've got other guys we want to get carries for. Like, I get that, but, I mean, this is Jarek Broussard. I mean, this
right.
is the offensive player of the year in the conference last year. And, you know, there was a lot of talk, and I asked the questions a lot in the offseason, hey, do you need to reduce his carries? I mean, he ranks second in the country, 26 carries per game. That's a lot for a 5'9" running back that weighs 180 pounds. So, and they've reduced it, but they've depleted his carries. I mean, he's gone from 26 a game to about 12. And the last few games, he hasn't even played 26 snaps, let alone get the carries. So it's just weird how they're using him. I don't really get it.
Yeah, that one's bizarre to me. You know, you stop and think, wow. Again, Carl Durrell, we've talked a lot about him being the Pac-12 Coach of the Year, and we understand the offense just has had some major issues. But yeah, looking at Jarek, that's another head-scratcher for me going forward. Well, now the Buffs get set for a home game against Oregon State, and Oregon State right there in the thick of things, a few games behind. I think they're 3-2 in the Pac-12 right now. So, I mean, they're sitting at third place. I mean, they're looking at every game now as just absolutely critical.
Yeah, they really are. And they're only a game back of their rival Oregon in the loss column in the North Division, and they still play Oregon. So if they win out, they can actually win the North Division. And for them, it's great to see. I mean, they're one of those programs like CU that struggles to find that six-win mark, and they haven't been bowl eligible since 2013. They're one win away from that, and they've got a tough last three games, but I think they can get there. I like this program and what they're doing under Jonathan Smith, and boy, they run the football really well, so that's going to be a tough challenge for the Buffs this weekend.
Yeah, just not getting really any easier for the Buffaloes as they're trying to look for those positives. You know, you get to this point in the year when it's been a rough season, but now you're just kind of at the point where you're looking for something. You're grasping anything you possibly can just to give you some momentum to end this season and going into the off season.
Yeah, for sure. And they've talked about that this week. Let's just play a good November and see what you can do. I mean, they've got to win all four games in November to get to a bowl game. That's probably not going to happen. But see if you can win a couple games and get some offense going, get the defense going a little bit. Who knows how long they're going to be out with Nate Lammon. I don't know if he'll be back this year or not. But I think it's a big deal for that defense to learn how to play well without Nate Lammon. They've never done it. They've only had 2.5 games to try it, and it hasn't looked good at all in either of those 2.5 games. So they've got to learn how to play without Nate. And they got to get some offense going. So those are the things I think you want to see in November.
Brian, what do you think? You're looking at these four games, Oregon State, at UCLA, home against Washington, at Utah. Do you see this team breaking off a win or two?
Yeah, I think they can win both the home games. I don't know if they win, but I do think both the home games are very winnable. UCLA is reeling right now, and obviously people are calling for Chip Kelly to be fired, but that's still a better football team than Colorado. And the Buffs just don't win in Los Angeles. So, I mean, they just flat out don't win out there. I don't think they've won in L.A. Since they've been in the Pac-12. So whether it's USC or UCLA, not saying they can't, but they just don't. And then Utah, Utah is up and down, but they have just hammered the Buffs in recent years, and I don't see that being any different. So I think if they're going to win, it's got to be those two games at home. And Oregon State is coming off of a loss, and Washington hasn't been very good this year. So I think they can win both those home games.
We're talking to Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Meanwhile, the Colorado Buffaloes men's slate starts up on Tuesday, going against Montana State. And I think we're just excited to turn the page, kind of, at least, and see what Ted Boyle's crew has to offer.
Yeah, and you hope that when the games count, they play better than they did in an exhibition loss to Nebraska last week, which I think they will. It was not a pretty game for those who saw it. And I didn't see it, but just reading the accounts of it, it was not a pretty game. But I think they're going to play better than that. I like this team, and it's going to be fun to see them get started.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for – I mean, I love football season, but, you get to the point where there's the teams you follow, start to kind of fall out of it. Okay, let's get a clean slate on the basketball side and see. But it should be – I tell you, Brian, in the area, to be honest, we should have some good basketball teams in your neck of the woods. Up at here, UNC, we think Steve Smiley should be good in his second year as a head coach. And then, of course, Colorado State. So there should be some really good basketball happening throughout Northern Colorado.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. And even on the women's side, I mean, that we've talked about before, that Buffs team should be pretty good over there. I don't know what CSU looks like, but the women over at CU are going to be pretty good as well.
Yeah, no question about it. Brian, appreciate you, man. What are you working on that we can check out in the next couple of days?
Well, actually, a story that just posted a little bit ago on Sam Noyer. We talked about the 2020 season and how things have changed. And this weekend is going to be kind of the epitome of what's changed in the last year. I mean, the three primary people last year were Carl Durrell, Jarek Broussard, who we talked about, and Sam Noyer was the all-conference quarterback for the Buffs, and he's now a backup at Oregon State after the transfer. So you look at kind of the shine that's come off of all three of those guys this year. But I talked to Sam, and he's really excited to come back to Boulder. It'll be exciting to see him, even though he's not playing in that starting role.
Brian, do you think if Sam would have been on the roster and didn't enter the transfer portal, would he be the guy now for the Buffs?
Yeah, I don't know if he would have won the job out of camp, but I think that there would have been a much shorter leash on Brendan Lewis early in the season when there were struggles, and Sam would have had an opportunity to play and maybe take over that role. So I definitely think we would have seen Sam maybe not, possibly even take that starting role, but we would have seen him for sure. I think this team would be better if he was here.
Isn't that weird how it all works out? You looked at the young quarterback competition with Lewis and JT Trout, and you think, okay, it just makes sense. There's not enough room for Sam Noyer, so he transfers thinking he's got a realistic shot with Oregon State, and then you have the injury and then just the struggles. Noyer would have had that second shot with the Buffs, but that's kind of the risk on both sides. I can see the positives and negatives of that transfer portal, but you certainly see the risks that come to play.
Yeah, and he went and won that job out of Oregon State coming out of camp, and then got pulled in the opener and really hasn't played since. He came into one game in mop-up duty, but hasn't played since. And so you kind of feel bad for him. I know he's struggling with that as I talked to him this week. But, you know, hey, as he said, the grass is not always greener on the other side, but it is what it is, and he's still happy with his decision. It is home for him. He gets to have dinner with family every week. So, you know, there's positives to it.
Yeah, no question about it. Brian, appreciate you, man. I'm looking forward to that. I'll be curious to check that out from you, as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Yeah, Sam Noyer, you know, he's the odd man out for the Buffs. He's the third quarterback when you got these young guys going at it, and Brendan Lewis and JT Shrout and Noyer. I just assumed that Durrell and Noyer had a conversation that was like, hey, these are probably going to be the front runners, so maybe that's an opportunity for you to look at the transfer portal. And I don't know if that's the conversation that went down. Sam Noyer looked at it, transfers, goes to Oregon State, wins the job, loses it. He would have probably been the starting quarterback for the Buffs the last couple of weeks now if he would have stayed. Although I don't disagree with the move. That's where I do see the transfer portal making sense. 35 minutes after the hour. I forgot to ask Brian. We're going to get the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, on tomorrow. Buffs fans, how does it feel seeing Mel Tucker do what he's doing? I mean, seriously. Is he one of the top coaches in college football right now?
I would say so.
Ugh.
I know whose coaching tree he's from, though.
Oh, he's from your boys, right?
Yeah.
Hell.
Well, everyone's from the Saban coaching tree.
I mean,
you're
from the coach Saban's coaching
might
tree.
As well be.
You might as well be. That was weird. I'm still waiting on Mel Tucker to... we were supposed to have him on that Monday when he left. We were supposed to have him on that Monday to talk about the rumors, to put those to bed, that he wasn't leaving for Michigan State.
So we're just waiting on that interview?
Yeah, still waiting on that interview.
Okay.
Haven't had it done yet, but when I talk to Mel, he's great. I love talking to Mel Tucker. It was awesome. But then that weekend hit, and it was like, ugh. And then Carl Durrell was Pac-12 Coach of the Year. And we're thinking, oh, we're much better off. Now Mel Tucker's like kind of the man. That sucks. It sucks seeing all these people go and do things, man. They leave Colorado. Look at Vaughn. Flap your wings, little Vaughn. Fly away. Be stronger without us here. Nolan Arenado, Mel Tucker, maybe John Gray. These guys just keep going away from us and doing excellent things. That's pretty depressing. On that note, we're going to get to the Thursday night special. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.